to worship the Lord this morning. We'll be flying without a net today. All our piano players are absent, which is fine. We rely on them a lot, but sometimes I guess they think we need choir practice. So look at it. This is choir practice today. And everybody's in the choir. And so we will start with the blue book, as we call it. We'll start at number 96. Just grab a note and jump in where you can and just hang on. Number 96. Sounded good. All right, turn back a few pages to number 86. This has some parts, so we'll count on those who sing the alto to help us in the chorus. He whispers sweet peace to me.
Whisper. Morning, everyone. Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to give that to you. Before I forget it again. Good morning, everybody. It is good to see each and every one here today. We're glad that everyone has come out to our service today. Got a few faces that are missing today. We're sorry they're not with us. It's good to see everybody back. Good to see Sean to come back and be back with us today. Been off down in Florida in school, and it's good to have him back with us. I know Mom and Daddy's glad of that. I know that for sure. But it is a blessing to be able to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I hope that our visitors that are with us today, I hope you'll make yourself right at home with us, and that we'll all be able just to join in together and worship the Lord today in this service the way we ought to today. We are thankful for the presence of God that can be here today. And let's ask the Lord to come and be in our midst today is what I want us to do. We're going to go right on with our service today. We're going to have our children's church. We always do that. And we're going to invite our young kids to come right over here. So everybody come right over here. I'm trying to beat y'all down here. Come on, everybody. Thankful for you guys coming up to be with us. Y'all set a big example for everybody else that you're willing to come and stand up before the Lord. Oops, I'm getting too big a hurry. Here comes Luke. Come on, Luke. Okay. Come on, Luke. Y'all are setting a very good example for everybody here today that you're willing to stand up before the Lord and come up here and, well, nothing. If nothing else, I hope you learn a little bit of something. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, especially as a child, say, y'all's age, one of my favorite stories in the Bible was a young feller, really wasn't a lot older than some of you are, and that was a young guy by the name of David. Y'all know that story of David and the Goliath, don't you? You see, when nobody else would stand up for the Lord that day, this young boy, I think they say he may have been 14 to 15 years of age, was what he was. And because of that, a lot of people just didn't pay much attention to David. But David had already been anointed by God or chosen by God to be the next king of Israel. It hadn't happened yet. But David, being a boy like he was, he stood up before the people. When he heard that old giant up there and saying terrible things about the children of Israel and especially about God, it kindled something in him. It kind of made him a little bit angry, and he just... I'm going to use the words of the Bible and said, who is this uncircumcised fellow? Meaning this Gentile he's speaking against God like he is. I want to invite you all. That's not just you guys up here, but everybody in the church house to be willing to speak up for the Lord, to be able to stand up for him. You know, he didn't just speak up for the Lord saying, who is this guy that's up here talking about God this way? He said, I'll go out there and I'll stand against him, because he had dared the children of Israel, all those soldiers, to come out and fight him. Now, if you want to know just how tall Goliath was, you look up here at this light up here, that's how tall he would have been. And Ben, come here. You're closer to the size, I think, that David would have been. Now you look at the difference in size. Thank you. What we fail to think about a lot of times is David, being small in body, he had a lot of heart. He had a lot of desire for God. And it takes something to stand up for God. And the best way to put it is heart. He had a lot of heart. He had a desire to see God's will done. Really and truly, I don't think he knew what was going to happen that day. But he knew that he was supposed to stand up for God. And I want to invite you that are up here especially. When it comes a time for you to stand up for God, you stand up for him. But that goes to everybody else too. Stand up for God the way you're supposed to. Okay, the next few times that I teach, I'm going to try to teach about what young people did in the Bible. So I'm going to be gearing this the next few times that I do this, talking about different young ones in the Bible, so that you can have confidence in yourself to serve the Lord. All right, I'm going to turn you loose. Thankful for those that came up. I'm thankful for those that listened this morning. I hope and pray that they got something out of it. And as I said, I hope everybody got something out of the service out of the Young People's Church this morning. Again, we're glad to have our visitors with us today. I hope and pray that we can all just serve the Lord together. Anybody got a prayer request on your heart this morning before we go any further in the service? We had several prayer requests this morning in our Sunday school. I'm going to repeat mine. Our son Patrick got married yesterday, and that's a big step. And all of you that are married, you know, yeah, there's a honeymoon period, but there's a lot of things that you've got to get used to about each other. Y'all pray for them. If I know my son and what I've seen out of her, they're both kind of a little hard-headed. They're going to need a lot of prayers. And so y'all pray for them. Pray that it'll be a good marriage. Is what we pray for. So y'all be prayerful for them. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I heard about her, Sister White, or I was used to be a White, passing yesterday, and then I heard about Brother JB this morning. As it's already been stated, they're home. But the families need your prayers. We all understand the loss of a loved one. And let's remember these two families as they've lost loved ones. Somebody else have prayer requests. Go ahead, Ms. Nick. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Let's remember Ms. Nettie's friend, Dee. Her husband has been given 3 weeks to live, in case you didn't hear. So let's do remember them in your prayers. Somebody else? Yeah. Hannah is having surgery Tuesday. Let's do remember them. Somebody else? Let's remember one another in our prayers, and let's ask the Lord to come in and be with us today. I'm going to ask you to pray for me also. Pray that the Lord will bless us today in this service. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way is what we'll ask you to do today. Brother Steve, I feel like you ought to lead us in prayer this morning, if you would, please.
You may be seated. Thank you. We'll continue our song service, and ones that we're quite familiar. Came across this one earlier and want to do it. 284. Sounding good. All right. Let's turn back and do a couple verses of number 35. Number 35. To the nursing home on Highway 96 once a month, and they always want to sing this song. This is one of their favorites, the elderly people over there. Some of them are not so elderly, but they love this song. Blessed Assurance. It's impressive to hear music like that. Amen. I can't imagine what they're singing in heaven or what it sounds like. Yeah. And it's hard to believe it's better than what y'all are doing, but it is. We'll sing a new song. Indulge me to do 299. I was on the right leaf here, but had the wrong page. 299. I'm going to ask you something. Is it well with your soul today? Is it well with your soul? Love this song.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Stewart. Appreciate this good words to us today. Sometimes it's good to be bragged on, isn't it? We remember that from our children, childhood days, maybe I should say that, when teacher or mother and daddy would brag on us, it kind of swelled us up a little bit, is what it would do. And it's good for us to give praise unto individuals, but always remember the ultimate praise goes unto God. Appreciate that this morning. Somebody else got a word on your heart this morning, word of testimony or anything? I too enjoyed the good singing today. I hope the Lord was pleased with it, and I believe He was. I believe the Lord was pleased with it. When we lift up our voices to the Lord, I think that He is truly pleased with these with what goes on. Anybody else got anything on your heart? If not, turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 25. I'll ask you to be prayerful and to pray that the Lord will deliver the message through me that He desires to go out to the congregation today. And I pray that we'll open up our hearts and our ears unto the true Word of God, is what I want us to do. I'm just a man, but I'm God's mouthpiece, is the way I like to think of it. And He uses me to bring you words that should lift us up, first of all, but also sometimes to give us warning, but also to give us give us a little gouge. You know, I deal with cattle along, and I've learned over the years, sometimes if you want a cow to move, you got to, I'm going to say, peck them on the back to make them move. I've seen my daddy do a little bit different. He would actually take hold of their tail and twist it to make them move. I don't think we want the Lord to twist us. So let's be about God's business today. And as I said, I'll be taking my reading lesson from the 25th chapter of the book of Jeremiah today. We're going to start with verse 31. And it says, "A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground." That's reading verses 31 through 33 for our reading lesson today. This message, you're probably kind of going through your head, kind of scratching, and trying to figure out where I'm going today. Last week's message was on the end. The end, being the end of time. Does everybody believe that there's coming a day when there will be an end of time? It's scriptural. It is scriptural. I didn't use this verse, but out of the book of Revelation, it says that the angel of the Lord shall proclaim that time shall be no more. There'll be no more time. We won't have to worry about alarm clocks. I'm bad to look at a watch or at a clock just to see what time it is what I'll do. Won't have to worry about that in heaven, will we? And so there is coming a time when the end will come. And what I mean by that, I mean the end of all that we know here upon this earth. All of us that are saved are going to heaven to be with God. All of those that are not saved, they're going to a devil's hell is where they're going. And that is something for us to keep in mind, especially for our loved ones that are not saved. We need to be praying. We need to be advising them. We need to talk to them and to tell them they need to get their hearts right to be with the Lord. We need to be encouraging them to seek God, not to put it off. For as we said last week, we don't know the day nor the hour in which that it will come. Now, today's message, I'm not usually a serious type of preacher, and I'm going backwards in a sense, but I'm talking about today basically what's going to cause the end. I remember as a young man, I remember hearing a couple of old men talking, and basically what they said was, the way the earth is going to be destroyed, and this is old man's thinking now, he said, we're pumping all this oil out of the earth. And he said, when we get it pumped out so much, he said, it's all that's the lubrication for on the axis of the earth, and it's going to cause a great fire to come up. No. I mentioned last week that a lot of people think the end is going to be caused by atomic bombs. No. The end is coming by God and Him alone. He doesn't need our weapons. He doesn't need anything that we have here on this earth to destroy or to make anything. God has made it all. But our message basically today is going to be on what causes God's anger to be so hot and so much of a fire that He is going to destroy all of everything we know. Now, if you'll notice in verse 31, there's a word there that, truthfully, I know I've read it. I had it marked, and I know it's been there, but it really never impressed me like it did other day when I was studying for this message. And the word is controversy. Now, we know a controversy is basically when, we'll say it this way, when two different people have a different opinion about something and they argue over it, it becomes a controversy. And a lot of times you have a controversy in churches where there's different groups in churches that may have an opinion on a certain subject and then others has a different opinion, and it becomes a controversy. It becomes a problem unto the church itself. There's controversies in the United States right now. There's people that likes what the president's doing, and then there's people that do not like what he's doing. It doesn't matter. It's a controversy, isn't it? It's an argument. It's a problem that is there. But it's a difference of an opinion is basically what it is. It's a difference of an opinion. And in this case, what he says here, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. In other words, he's got a different opinion as to what the nations of the world have today. And I want you to notice I said what the world has today. There's a difference in what God has in mind and what the world has in mind. Would you all agree that the world has a different opinion than what we read in the Scripture? Yes, we would definitely have that in our minds, that there's a difference in what God says and what He thinks than what the world thinks. I think sometimes I get my opinion out of place with God. But here he says there is a controversy between him and the nations. I'm going to try to bring to you today what's going to bring about this anger, this fire that he is talking about. He, down here in the 32nd verse, he said, "Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation." Now, we might say, well, it's evil as far as the evil of a certain dictator, certain presidents, certain things that they could do in certain places. You know, I remember hearing during the Vietnam War, and I believe it was in the country of Laos, which was next door to them. They had a tyrant as a leader, and he killed thousands upon thousands of individuals. He had a difference of opinion on how he's going to rule his country. But my friends, today, I want you to see the difference in opinion between God and the world today. And I'm going, first of all, to the book of Hosea in the 4th chapter, if you want to turn there very quickly today, because we're going to first see these signs that we're going to see what the difference of opinion is. Now, let me ask you something while you're turning there. Whose opinion matters most? Amen. God's opinion matters the most. That's what counts right there more than anything else. In the 4th chapter of Hosea, first verse, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land." There's that word again. Here he's speaking about a particular land here, but I want us to take it as a worldwide land here, because that is the spiritual meaning of these scriptures. It's not just the nation of Israel, not just the nation of Judah. It's the world itself. The Lord hath a controversy with everyone that is upon this earth that is not adopted his ideas. What he says here, there is a controversy between him and the land, because there is no truth. No truth. What is truth? That was the statement that Pilate made to Jesus. He said, "What is truth?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." What he meant by that was, he is the way to getting saved. He is the true way of being saved. He is the truth in that everything that he spoke and did while he was here upon this earth was the perfect will of God. So he became the truth to all mankind, is what he did. But going further, he said, "Nor mercy in this time." We live in a day and age in which that the world itself shows very little mercy in this day and age. But the fact of the matter is, if you take it to a spiritual place here today, as far as mercy is concerned, God has mercy upon all of the nations of the world. Otherwise, they'd done been wiped out. He would have did as he did in the days of the flood. He would have wiped away all mankind as it is. But the fact of the matter is, the mercy of individuals has gone away. The searching out for the mercy of God has gone away. Yes, they claim to be Christians. Yes, they claim to serve God. But the fact of the matter, they have not put themselves to the place where that they can seek out the mercy of God. They seek not the truth. They seek not the mercy of God. He says, "Nor knowledge of God in the land." These were the first three problems that Hosea brought out, was the problem in the world. They're not seeking out the truth. Jesus being the truth, not seeking the mercy of God, but also not seeking the knowledge of the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us that the beginning of wisdom is the knowledge of Christ. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is not so much being afraid, but being in a respect of God. I'm going to tell you something, though. If you're going to respect God for who he is, you better be afraid of him also. But the fear itself of the Lord means to have a great respect unto God above everything else. These people these days, in these days that Hosea was writing, he was speaking unto the people of Israel. And what he was telling them, you're not really seeking out God. You're going through the motions of seeking out God. Now, let me get this. I'm going to come back to that thought here in a minute, Lord willing. In the second verse, he said, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Now, in this day and age, physically now, let's talk about the world physically. Is there not a lot of swearing going on? I'm not just talking about cursing. Oh, I hear a lot of language in places that I don't want to hear. I hear a lot of things. But I also hear people swearing to the fact of some matter and really are not even standing by their word. They're not. They're not standing by what they're saying. It used to be in years gone by, if you were going to make a deal, and I'll say it this way, if you was going to buy a piece of property, maybe a piece of maybe a house or something like that, you went and you made the deal and you shook hands on it and your word was your bond. But in this day, you better sign a bunch of papers. You better. Because people will not stand behind their very words. They'll swear that they'll do something and will not. That's buyers and sellers both. They will not stand behind what they're doing. But it is also the fact of the cursing that we know that is going on in these days. He said in lying. What are we looking at in these days? We have many double-tongued people. And what that means for our younger ones is this. There are people that says one thing to this side and will go over here and say another to this side, and neither one of them are true. They're lying. I've worked with people over the years that they would tell me a story, and I'm going to have to say a lot of times I was pretty naive about some of their stories. I believe.